It's good to be here. I just got in from Washington, D.C. I didn't know how many people would be here. I have a few brochures about genetically engineered food. If you're with any organization, please take one of these because you're absolutely free to copy them. It's a very good readable synopsis of the kinds of questions that we need to raise about what I call virtual food for virtual people. Now, the World Trade Organization, as you've learned, is trying to force this technology down the throats of the whole global population. And what does this mean for the future? I'm going to give you a synopsis here, as soon as we get the slides up and going, about where this technology is taking us. Well, welcome to the genetic age. Since Crick and Watson in the United Kingdom split the genetic code showing the double helix, venture capitalists moved in very quickly. We can improve upon nature. This is the hubris of the dominator mode of being human. In the book of Genesis, it says that we have dominion over the rest of creation. The original root meaning of dominion doesn't mean to dominate and control and exploit. It comes from the Hebrew verb yarad, which means to come down to have communion with. It's an injunction to compassionate custodianship of God's creation. But we have another form of human being that I call homo technos, technocratic man, that has the arrogance to believe that we can improve upon nature and commoditize life. Through the World Trade Organization and TRIPS, the trade-related intellectual property, new life forms are being patented. This is the game of Monopoly. When I was a kid, I learned to play Monopoly, but I stopped playing because when my peers started winning, I saw how they behaved. They became greedy. They became insatiable. But in the real world, it's pretty creepy. Now, there are some areas of genetic engineering biotechnology that could be used well. Basically, all technology is neutral. For example, we can develop from certain crops edible vaccines. My wife has a project in India. In many third world countries, there's no adequate refrigeration. But you can produce bananas and spinach and foods like that that can, in fact, contain beneficial vaccines, oral vaccines. That's one approach. DNA probes for checking new diseases. A lot of you have cats, and your cats have feline leukemia virus vaccine that's been genetically engineered. We're not sure yet how safe these are, but they seem to be working well. Now, Monsanto popped out first with some of the new transgenic crops that produce insecticides, and these are two tomato plants. Caterpillar surprised. The tomato plant at left was stripped by caterpillars at Monsanto's lab in St. Louis, but the plant at right, with an inserted gene, produced a toxin that repelled the pests. Wonderful. Poisonous plants. Field performance of elite transgenic maize plants expressing the insecticidal protein from a bacillus, Bacillus thuringiensis. They found that some crops now producing this BT toxin produce 20 to 30 times more than was expected. Now, let's just back up a bit. Agricultural spokespeople are saying that 50% of the field crops in the United States next year will be genetically engineered. 50%. About 60% of the processed foods that you eat today contain some ingredients of genetically engineered crops. How do they get the genes in to these crops? Well, they put them in especially using virus vectors. A popular one is the cabbage mosaic virus. The virus infects the whole plant, so it's already infected. It's possible that these virus particles that are used to carry genes into the plant can recombine with what is called endogenous viruses in the plants to create entirely new plant diseases. There is evidence that after the plants die, the BT toxin accumulates in certain soils. When we start killing the microorganisms in the soil, we have dead soil. We have no nutrients. Some researchers are even putting spider venom genes into plants and scorpion venom genes, experimenting to produce crops that will be patented to resist all kinds of insects. Here we have future pest control. This is supported with your tax dollars. Predatory mite that could be genetically modified to improve its ability to feed on spider mites. I'll tell you about this in a minute. Now just imagine when you have these plants that are producing their own insecticides synthetically put into them. These insecticides are not specific for certain insect, in quotes, pests. First of all, you talk to any organic farmer. You create insect pests when you have these huge monocultures of corn and soybean, primarily to raise and fatten chickens and pigs and so on, so we eat more meat. When you have this situation that it's all kinds of insects that are being killed, you're wiping out beneficial insects. You're also destroying a food source for birds and other creatures. You're affecting the whole food chain. The end result will be biological wastelands. We have plants being produced now, crops being produced that produce their own insecticide and that are resistant, as you know, to various herbicides, such as glyphosate, the Roundup Ready soybeans of Monsanto. Novartis has some, Zeneca has some. So there's going to be more herbicide use as well. Killing weeds, other plants in other words, that used to be food for other creatures. So what are we doing? We are on the threshold of creating biological deserts. Very serious. Now in the late 80s, these major companies, Pioneer, Shell, Sandoz, Pfizer, Upjohn, Ciba-Geigy, the drug companies and the petrochemical companies started buying up all the small seed companies. This is your game of monopoly. So that then available to the farmers would only be their particular seeds, that they were on the threshold of genetic engineering and patenting. So this is monopoly par excellence. This is good strategy. Now, you know, the ultimate monopoly is to sell seeds to farmers that won't germinate unless the farmer buys a chemical cocktail to stimulate the germination process, or plants that will germinate but have no immune system until the farmer buys a particular chemical cocktail to put on. Or if you sell him, in quotes, normal seeds and the seeds don't germinate, that's a Terminator 1 technology. That they're not going to germinate if he stores any of the seeds. And this is the kind of mindset behind the game of monopoly and total control of the food system that the World Trade Organization is aiding and abetting that should really make us deeply concerned. Of course, they say this is the only way to feed the hungry world. This is the only way to feed the hungry world with agricultural biotechnology. Now, Charles Benbrook, an agronomist, came out with a report a couple of weeks ago. He did a study of the U.S. soybean crop. The genetically engineered crops are less productive per acre than conventional crops. So they are less productive. Lapay and a co-researcher have found that the genetically engineered soybeans have less of the beneficial phytoestrogens that help stop breast cancer and other health-related problems. So these crops are not doing so good. The more research that we do, the more flawed they are. What kind of research and development is going on? Herbicide resistance, insect resistance, various trait qualities, virus resistance, and so on. And these are the kind of biological deserts of agribusiness, the huge monocultures, where this technology is being applied. You have big processing plants in the acreage. So the big question is, what is going to happen to the soil microorganisms? Now, I speak for the rights of animals and all creatures. A lot of human beings feel that we are the most intelligent, therefore our rights go above everybody else's. Some animal rights philosophers say whales are more sentient than mice, therefore we should be more concerned about protecting whales than mice. The least sentient are in the soil, the little bacteria, the molds, the fungi, the microscopic little insect-like creatures. Now, if you try to value them in terms of their intelligence, you're on the wrong path. That's a human-centered or anthropocentric path. You should look at them in terms of what they give to life. And those little organisms, and I have a spoonful of forest soil here, and there's about 4 billion little organisms in that teaspoonful. They give more to the earth than all of us in this room, because they are part of the process of symbiogenesis, of recycling and recreating life, making the humus. Now, we're human. Remember the etymology. Human, humus of the earth. Therefore, we should be humble. We should have humility. Where is the humility in this technology? The soil is becoming toxic. A major problem with conventional foods today is because of the use of synthetic chemicals, potassium, nitrogen, ammonia, and so on. The microorganisms are being destroyed. The soils are deficient in trace nutrients, trace minerals. So we have trace mineral deficiency diseases in the animals and in the humans that eat them. So take your multi-mineral supplements tomorrow, if not today, because many of our soils are seriously depleted. And this biotechnology is not going to improve it at all. Although Monsanto was talking about nutraceuticals, about nutritionally enhanced foods that they're going to market yet. Very soon. Very questionable. Why not eat a diverse, balanced, organic diet? We don't need nutraceutical foods. Now remember, just a few years ago, the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry was selling pesticides left, right, and center and saying that they were safe. This is an ad from Time magazine in 1949, 1950. It says, DDT is good for me. And look at the little Susie housewife. Look at the baby. It's good for the home. She's nursing her baby there. Yay, we dwell in ignorance. But we've moved on a bit now. We know that these chemicals become concentrated in the breast fat and are secreted in the milk and are affecting the babies. The dioxins is part of the food chain too. Eat lower on the food chain, you concentrate less dioxins. Pretty scary. But the chemical industry said these things are safe. The chemical industry is now morphed into genetic engineering biotechnology, moving away from the age of chemistry into the age of biotechnology. And they're saying the same thing. It's good for you. We're doing it all for you. It will feed the hungry world. Trust us. This is science-based. But it is based on bad science. It is based on a mechanistic, reductionistic science that believes that the whole life process is determined by genes. It's not. Genes do not determine. Now, this is from the Union of Concerned Scientists. This is what the kind of transgenic menu you might have soon. Appetizers, spiced potatoes with wax moth gene, juice of tomatoes with flounder gene, entree, blackened catfish with trout gene, pork chops with human gene, scalloped potatoes with chicken gene, cornbread with firefly gene, rice pudding with pea gene, milk with genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. Rah, rah, rah. Now, you can't see this slide, but it's a great picture. This is the life science industry now. The petrochemical, pharmaceutical, food industrial complex has merged now in this monopoly game to become the life science industry. They're controlling our food and our health. And it goes like this. Now, it was DuPont Nemours Chemical Company that put the money up for Harvard University to develop the Oncomouse, a genetically engineered mouse very susceptible to breast cancer. The patent is owned by the Board of Regents of Harvard University. This little mouse was developed to test ways of treating breast cancer and for screening possibly carcinogenic drugs and pollutants and so on. DuPont Nemours Chemical Company developed it. DuPont Nemours Chemical Company is one of the world's biggest distributors of agricultural pesticides that are linked with breast cancer. It also markets nationwide high-resolution X-ray film for mammograms. So this is the way the life science industry progresses. It contaminates the food chain and then profits when we get sick. The World Trade Organization is going to give this to the world. Now, all of you who followed NAFTA and GATT realize that what was going on in these Uruguay round and the trade negotiations and so on was market-driven. Now, I met with some authorities about genetically engineered bovine growth hormones saying, for ethical and scientific reasons, it should not be marketed. It should not be approved by the U.S. government. And I was told, the marketplace will be the arbiter of whether it's going to be used or not. The marketplace is where the final judgment rests. If it works, if it's profitable, it will be used. What a terrible situation to be in. And that is what drives the World Trade Organization. A market-driven ethos of a consumer mentality that is consuming the earth. It's got to stop. Side agreements that will be considered in the future, we were always told. Environmental concerns, social justice issues, animal welfare rights, protection, endangered species. That will be incorporated later. But we must get everything on the map first so that we can harmonize trade relationships and so on. These other bioethical issues have been totally ignored. So the whole system is corrupt. It will ultimately collapse into its own entropy. But it's going to take the world along with it. We have vast acreages now of transgenic crops, especially in the United States. One of the problems is genetic pollution, as you've already been told about, where the pollen will go from genetically engineered crops and contaminate conventional crops and organic crops. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of organically certified corn chips were taken off the shelves in Europe. They came out of a big organic producer in Texas because they were found to be contaminated with genetically engineered material. So we have the domino effect, and it's going to accelerate now with genetic pollution. The genes being transmitted via the pollen getting into the life stream. When a plant dies, you have what is called naked DNA. The cell disintegrates, and the DNA, the recombinant DNA in that cell, which is completely unique with, you know, various genes tagged on to a carrier virus and so on, can persist in certain soils and be absorbed by various microorganisms, including worms, and can then be incorporated into their genome, into their genetic structure. Model experiments have been done with mice. DNA can get across. Foreign DNA can get across from the mouse into the offspring through the milk and, of course, across the placenta. So this could lead to toxic bodies, contaminated ecosystems. Now, there is some genetic exchange going on all the time at a kind of regular, kind of humming rate. You know, we get infected with viruses. Maybe the viruses make us a little bit more intelligent or a little bit more stupid. But now, this whole rate of genetic exchange is being accelerated by this new technology. Where is the precautionary principle? Where is biological knowledge? It's been thrown out of the window. One of the first genetically engineered products to go onto the market was vegetarian rennet. Instead of taking the rennet from the stomachs of calves, it was genetically engineered. Then we had genetically engineered insulin. The gene is put into E. coli bacteria, and they ferment and mass-produce this stuff in vats. It's analogous, it's not homologous. One of the first vegetables to get on the market was the Flavor Saver tomato, but that just kind of squished into itself. People didn't like it. Last year, one of the biggest calamities was in the Mississippi Delta, where Monsanto's genetically engineered cotton just didn't do well, and Monsanto had to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to the cotton producers who were using their new transgenic cotton. It was an odd growing season. The bolls didn't ripen or they fell off prematurely. Now, there's a lot of research indicating with these transgenic plants, you're not sure how the genetic trait is going to be expressed. So there can be instability in each line. And there is no guarantee. The research is not done to show that you have genetic stability. So if you have a slightly drier or hotter or colder growing season, all kinds of weird things can happen to the plant. Tremendous economic loss. Suppose these were third world farmers, as in India. Are they going to get up and sue Monsanto? They're not going to be able to do that at all. You're just going to have more suicides, as Vandana Shiva and others will tell you. So we ask for labeling. We have transgenic potatoes that were being studied in the UK at the Rowett Research Institute, and it could be the lectins, a kind of insecticide in the potatoes, that when fed to rodents, the rodents' development was impaired, their immune systems were weakened, and so on. This is what blew everything up in the United Kingdom. The scientist was silenced and fired after mentioning this on the BBC. There's been a big inquiry now. Many scientists have come forward and confirmed the scientists' findings, that these are scientifically valid concerns, that the human population should not be a guinea pig for foods that we've never, ever eaten in the millions of years of our increasingly degenerate existence. Rapeseed or canola, a commodity oilseed crop grown primarily in Europe and Canada. Calgene is genetically engineering rapeseed to produce high-value specialty oils, which the plant doesn't normally take. Oils analogous to coconut and palm oil. How is this going to impact on third world economies, on countries and small communities that are dependent upon exporting these oils to us? There's no thought of that. Vanilla bean comes from Madagascar. It's a major economic cornerstone for that small community. It's possible for a laboratory in New Jersey to start synthesizing vanilla, genetically engineering it. What about the ethics of global trade here, where we start producing our own commodities in this country through genetic engineering, and to hell with the small producers abroad? Serious ethical questions that the World Trade Organization, of course, is not answering. Talk about the animals now. A few years ago, scientists put human growth genes into mice, and look at the difference. You had giant mice. Wow, if we can do that to mice, let's do it to pigs. Then we can have twice as many pigs growing twice as quickly, so we can eat twice as much. And that is efficiency, that is productivity, and that is what production agriculture is all about. So they did it. And there are some pretty serious problems in these confinement systems already. These are Auschwitz factories for animals. The animals are frustrated, bored, overcrowded, they are stressed, and they are distressed. Factory hog operations like this use a lot of antibiotics in the feed to control disease. And you know about the problems of antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria developing now. Don't forget that many of our genetically engineered crops now have antibiotic gene marker to identify that they've been genetically engineered. The British Medical Association came out in May saying that there should be a complete ban on all genetically engineered crops that contain antibiotic resistance markers. Farm animals are going to eat these crops. So are we. The genes for antibiotic resistance could be picked up by the bacteria in the farm animals' intestines and in ours, and that will be totally upsetting the apple cart. We could have new malabsorption diseases, more infections, and so on. But already these factory farms are causing foodborne plagues around the world where they are established, aside from the environmental pollution. E. coli, Salmonella, Listeria, Campylobacter, you name it, you'll get it if you eat it. And more power to Mother Nature. That's all I can say. Now, this is Dr. Vernon Purcell with one of his first transgenic pigs with human growth genes in her. Look at it. Look at the poor creature. Not even normal. Compacted bones. Crippled. A weakened immune system. Totally impaired. Now, when you compare the growth rates of a human being with a pig, the velocity of growth rate of a human pig far exceeds that of a human being. So where's the right thinking in the first place? If these scientists had got down on their hands and knees and looked eye to eye with a pig, in the normal posture of pigly humility, they would have realized that to put human growth genes into these animals would cause serious problems. And they're called deleterious pleiotropic effects. The simple target gene effect, like more growth, doesn't happen necessarily. All kinds of other things can happen. You screw up the immune system, growth becomes abnormal, you have kidney abnormalities, and the whole litany goes on. Scientists in Australia and New Zealand put... Australia, this was University of Adelaide in Australia. Of course, they're all sheep conscious there for various reasons. So they put human growth genes into sheep to try to get them bigger, faster. Same problem as with the pigs. Immune system breakdown. Most of the transgenic sheep died by the time they were 6 months of age. The arrogance of this, to improve on nature. Is it necessary? That's what I asked Vernon Purcell. Is this necessary? Why are you putting human genes into pigs, making them into humanimals? Well, we need to know, because this is knowledge. Knowledge for knowledge's sake. You know, that's the thing of science, of the new priesthood. But he also said, but it could be the way to feed the hungry world. I said, you sound like, what's her name, in the French Revolution, who said, Marie Antoinette, oh, they are rioting, they're hungry. They want bread. Oh, give them cake, she says. So Vernon Purcell is saying, give them pork. Just imagine the amount of soybean and corn and everything else to raise a pound of pork. Why not give people corn and soybeans? It's a balanced diet. Throw a few chilies in and a bit of spinach and you can fly to the moon on that. It's very sad. Now the laying hens and the broiler chickens, factory systems again. Endemic disease problems. One of the first transgenic to give virus immunity for foul leukemia disease, kind of cancer, viral cancer. Transgenic fish are being created now, genetically engineered fish. A kind of salmon has been engineered with such a growth velocity that it grows 400 times faster than normal. Instead of growing like that, it goes whoop, and then fills out. Immune system problems again. The physiology can't deal with this. Transgenic research, a bibliography, this is your government working for you. All your money's going out of your pocket into the research and development. Once your government or universities allied have done the research and development, then it goes into the private sector for commercialization. Major risk with transgenic fish is they're floating out in these things, you know, like the salmon and all the trout and stuff. And what happens if there's an escape? You know, we've polluted and just about overfished all the oceans, so what seals that are left are trying to get into these salmon and other fish-holding areas? Suppose some of these super salmon get out. So please think twice about eating seafood. You know, basically the ocean is... You wouldn't take food out of your toilet, and the sea is not the cleanest place, and a lot of the cultivated or aquacultured fish and other seafoods are heavily laced with all kinds of drugs, growth stimulants and so on, whether it's shrimp or trout. And the first animal foods that will be marketed will be genetically engineered seafoods.